Praise the Lord, saints.
Praise the Lord.
Our message today comes from the book of Job, Amen. Second chapter, verses 7 through 10. Mm-hmm. That's the book of Job, second chapter, verses 7 through 10. And I'm reading from the NIV Bible, and it reads as follows. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, "Are you maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die." He, meaning Job, replied, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" I want to speak today on the topic, be a friend, not a critic. Amen?
Amen.
To understand the scripture, we have to know what led up to this conversation. Now, Job was an upright man who loved the Lord, and Satan made a deal with God that if hard times struck gold, then Job would curse God. Satan had a field day making Job's life miserable prior to this particular scripture. Job lost his family, his cattle, and his livestock. Job still did not curse God after all these things happened. Verses 7 and 8 state the following.
Yes.
So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. Now, the fact that the sores were all over Job's body and he was in pain, this was an opportunity for his wife to show compassion and comfort him. Job's wife was his best friend. And if we're being honest, your spouse should be your best friend. Verse 9 states the following. His wife said to him, "Are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die." Saints, let's understand what comforting means. The definition of comfort is the easing of a person's feelings of grief or distress, to give strength and hope to a person in need. What Job needed at that time was comfort from his wife. What Job needed at that time was a friend. His wife told him that he needs to let go of his pride and his ego. His wife assumed that Job's issues were due to something that Job was doing wrong, and she criticized him. His best friend in life, his spouse, had the perfect opportunity to comfort him and to be the friend that Job really needed more than anything given the fact of what was happening in his life. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Instead, she chose to criticize him. You could say that she kicked him when he was down instead of lifting him up. She further states in that verse 9 that Job should curse God and die.
Wow,
indeed. How many friends do we know that give us bad advice? First of all, Job didn't ask for opinion and needed comforting, not advice. Secondly, she was his buddy, his BFF. And if she thought that Job would actually curse God, then she really didn't know the man, her man, that well. Right? Friends often give advice to others that they truly do not know as well as they think. We are all guilty of giving advice without knowing all of the circumstances or facts, right? If we're being honest, we tend to criticize our friends based on what we think we know about them. Okay? We think that we are helping them, but in reality, we could be making matters worse. Let me ask a few questions of me. How many times have you personally needed a friend to listen to you and not judge you? That's the first question. Second question, how many times have you needed a friend to comfort you during your hard times? Third question, how many times have you needed a friend to give you a word of encouragement? Let me ask you this one, real basic. How many times have you just needed a friend to give you a hug? Say it's going to be all right. Let me ask another question. Question number five, if you keep in count. How many times have you needed a friend to be there for you without any strings attached? Question number six. How many times have you needed a friend to pray with you during your hard times? Question seven. How many times have you needed a friend to understand what you were going through? And which brings me to the last question. How many times have you just needed a friend? You just needed a friend. I gave you eight questions, all of them in relation to how a friend should be, how you needed them, etc. Now, let me take this into another direction and ask you these questions. The first question is the most important one. How can anyone be your friend if you are not a friend to yourself? Think about that for a second and ask yourself these questions. How many times have you been your own worst enemy or your own worst critic? How many times have you told yourself that your problems are all your fault? Right? Another question. How many times have you prayed for help from God during your trials and tribulations? Another question. How many times have you waited for God to answer your prayer or to give you direction? Should I elaborate on that one? We ask God for our help. We don't wait for God to give us direction or give us answers. We should. That would make our life a whole lot easier if we did. Let me ask you something else. How many times have you actually helped yourself during these times and not hindered yourself by feeling down or depressed? Now, we all are guilty of that one. Yeah. From the pulpit to the pew. We are all guilty of that. In fact, that's the hardest thing. When you're going through something, normally it makes you feel down. Mm-hmm. It makes you hard on yourself. What did I do to get myself in this situation? Yeah. What can I change to get out of this situation? You ask yourself all of these questions. But then we have friends that come during our hard times, and to add on to what we already going through, they don't mean no harm. We don't mean any harm. We're just trying to be friends. But we ask or criticize them, like, what did you do to get in this situation? Instead of saying, what can I do to help you? Yeah. Big difference, being a friend versus being a critic. Verse 10 tells us how Job responded to his wife after she told him to lose the integrity and curse God. Verse 10 tells us this. Job replied, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" You see, Job needed his wife and friend to understand him and to understand that he loves God and he would not curse God no matter what the situation or circumstance. See, Job understood Romans 8, 28, which states, "And we know that all things work together for good for them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." Even though Job was having the hardest of times, he never wavered in his love for God and his respect for the one who created him. He trusted God and knew that eventually the hard times would pass if he just kept the faith. Let me tell you something else. Job was a friend to himself. Throughout all of this, he was a friend to himself. He never wavered in terms of his love for God. He never wavered regarding, you know what, God, you hate me. You know, he didn't throw any of that out there. He was being a friend to himself. And I don't know if you read all of Job, but there were three other people that came, his so-called friends that came to him, telling him what he was doing wrong, what he should do to repent. And Job had to speak to all three of them and say, look, dude, you're missing the point. Okay, this is not something that I'm going through as a result of something I did. This is just something that God is allowing at this time. So I just gave you the example of his wife, and you know, we're all guilty of this, where we're trying to be a friend, but we cross the line into becoming critics. When our friend really needs us to just be a friend. Saints, hard times come and hard times go. But God loves us through our hard times, and we need to trust him just like Job did. The ending of Job's story solidifies the fact that God is there during the good and bad times, and if you keep the faith and not waver, then God will bless you. If you don't believe me, read Job. We all need friends to be there for us during hard times. And we all need friends to listen to us without being a critic. We're all guilty of it. No one can say that they're not that way. It is human nature. Okay? It starts with us being a friend to ourselves, though. Yes. And that also is human nature. When you're going through some hard times, it's easy to feel down. It's easy to criticize what you've been doing and how you've been doing it. Yes. And I'm not saying that some of these things that we're going through aren't self-inflicted, okay? Because we're human, we make mistakes. Sometimes we make the same mistake over and over, but I won't go there. But the point of the matter is, you got to be a friend of yourself and stop beating yourself about it. You know, you're having hard times.
Yes.
Okay, you're gonna have hard times in life. There are trials and tribulations, but you got to be a friend of yourself. And you can't criticize yourself for what's going on. You got to go to God, say, okay, Lord, if I did something wrong, I repent. And let it go. God heard you. You don't have to worry about that anymore. You covered the main base in terms of being a friend. Just repent. And that'll clear it up for you. Then you got no reason to be feeling bad about the situation, because God has forgiven you for whatever it is. Okay? And another thing you need to do when you're praying to God, asking for his help to get through this trial, trust God. You're not the first person to go through this, whatever it is, and you won't be the last. Okay? You won't be the last. And if you live long enough, you're going to go through a whole lot more than that. I'm just saying. So, if you be a friend to yourself, then others can be friends to you. Keep in mind that your friend really has your best interest at heart. They really do care. They just don't know how. You know what I'm saying? They don't understand that you can be a friend without being a critic. They don't understand that you can just listen. And that's the best friend you can have, is someone you can just toss an idea or thought off of without them criticizing you or making you feel small for doing so. Okay? That's what I'm talking about in this scripture, y'all. Understand, saints, that we can all improve in this area by being a friend and not being a critic. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, our Lord, in the name of Jesus, we come. Thank you for this word, Father.
Thank you.
I repent, Father.
Yes.
I repent.
Yes.
Because I know that I've fallen short. And I'm willing to admit it, Almighty Father. I'm human. But you know what? I don't always have to be this way, Lord. Because I have a relationship with you, Father. And I just pray, Father, that you'll improve me by changing me, Lord. Help me, Father, to overcome being and teach me to become a friend instead of a critic, Lord. Father, I pray for this message, Father. I pray, Lord, and I thank you for this message. I pray, Lord, that everyone here to understand its meaning. Yes. I pray, Father, that they'll look at themselves, not in a harsh way, but just take a serious look at themselves and say, you know what, Lord, this word touched me because it hit a nerve. Yes. Father, I pray that this word goes from the north, the south, the east, and the west. May you be glorified in it, O Lord. Yes. We thank you for this word and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.